This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
I'm Linda Palacio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, the distant strains of that music. It just means spring is finally here. And we have a very special episode of Eating Disorder on the Heritage Radio Network tonight. Sort of like those after-school specials from the 80s, but there'll be no moral message, probably an immoral message.
Don't wet your bed.
And don't wet your bed? Now you tell me. I just bought a whole bunch of rubber sheets at Bed Bath Beyond Urination. All right, so here we are. We have all three hosts back from Eating Disorder. Chef Paul Girard, no more Where's Paldo. He was opening up a place called Bel Rev, and because it's so action-packed tonight, you get two questions in the pre-banter show.
I'm going to ask you two questions.
Well, you can ask me the same question. It's going to be the same question for all three of us. The highlight and the low light of the last 2 months, having just opened a new trendy restaurant, cocktail bar on Church Street, Bel Rev.
Bel Rev,
the
yes.
High and the low, each moment.
The high and the low. I would have to say that the high has been, it's actually very hard to describe, but there's been a fantastic kismet going on there between people. It was kind of my desire, our desire. Me and my partners, I'm partnered with Billy Gilroy from Employees Only in Macau and Patrick Fahey from Macau and Naked Lunch and Peggy Sue's. Some nightlife pros. We basically wanted to build a modern-day Max's Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And you've had,
like Max's Kansas City, people just hanging out like David Johansen, Buster Poindexter, David Chappelle. I mean, I don't want to name drop here, but, you know.
Yeah, well, we have a lot of instruments available there. We have a piano and everything, so people have been coming in and jamming, and it's been a lot of fun. We do, like, a spoken word night.
We knew David Chappelle could play piano.
If you pay him $50 million, he's going to walk away from playing it. But
it's been amazing how people have been it turns out to be like a big living room. Everybody just winds up hanging out, and they kind of know each other, and this guy knows that guy, and you know, it's been the highlight of it. I love it when a plan comes together.
Yes,
you know, like it's becoming exactly what we wanted it to.
And the low light, the low light.
I mean, there's really
this question.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Mystery voice.
There's really no low light except that I'm getting older, and you know, I've opened, you know, 24 restaurants in my career, and I always love it. I love the action of it, but I can feel it the older I get. I'm feeling it a lot more. So you know, the 100-hour weeks, you know, they do something to you.
That's why I like to spread those out over a whole month. I do 100-hour week over a month. And the Rev, you're back from South by Southwest.
Yep, it was
highlight and low light.
Oh, the highlight. The highlight was the taco joint on 6th Street. There was a great, amazing taco place that I couldn't walk by. Basically, this is what would happen. We'd go to a show, I'd come back, have a taco. We'd go to dinner, I'd come back, have a taco. We'd, we're going back to the hotel, I'd go back and have a taco. This Al Pastor taco place that has not been at South by before, and it was like it's premium space on 6th Street in Austin, right? So these guys earned it, right? But, oh, Lord. I mean, again, and it's one of those things where we just don't have the Mexican they have in the Southwest. We just don't. And I'm in Jackson Heights now, and they have great Al Pastor, but not this Al Pastor.
So that was it. Most people go to South by Southwest to discover the new band. You went to discover the new taco.
And the new band, we saw Reggie Watts,
mm-hmm.
Which was amazing.
Soon to be on a late night TV show, I believe.
It still is.
Give us the low light.
The low light?
I'm excited to introduce our guests.
I caught a horrible flu mm-hmm. on the way out.
Eating 67 tacos a day?
Maybe, but it was also, it was one of those years, and it happens with South By if you go every year, it's one of those years where everybody was sneezing and mm-hmm. wheezing and blah, 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 and no one wants to admit it because we're all having a great time.
Okay.
So no one wants to be like, oh, there might be a bug going around, you know?
All right.
And, like, I literally, South By was done 2 weeks ago. I just got over it 2 days ago.
Sneeze By Southwest. Yeah. All right, I'll give you the last 2 weeks. My highlight was going to the Dropkick Murphys show.
Oh.
Feeling like a true Bostonian and feeling like reading the New Yorker about
like
a masshole. And I thought, you know what, punk
was that on St. Patrick's Day?
It was just before St. Patrick's Day. And feeling like it's safe to go to punk shows. And then I went to the Dwarves show and I got punched twice in the head. So that was the low light.
That was a story? It was a Dwarves show?
The Dwarves show, yeah. I got punched in the head.
By someone in the band, presumably.
I have no idea. There was a girl in glasses, and the whole thing went horribly astray.
You got punched by a girl?
I wrote about it in the Huffington Post. But regardless, tonight is all highlights. I'm going to introduce two of our guests, and then we have a special in-studio surprise guest. There are maybe four food groups that have been reimagined in the world because the gentleman sitting to my right, and I should say we've done so much visual radio that if you finally have one that is good for actually talking. And this gentleman started Heritage Foods, which has an incredible mission statement that I'm going to paraphrase badly in a moment. Heritage Radio, which is the network we're on.
So he's our boss, basically.
And the Slow Foods USA
movement.
We're
getting paid, man.
This is Patrick Martins joining us. And welcome, Patrick.
I'm so happy to be here. You guys are one of the top 39 shows on the network. I've always said that.
Yes.
Out of 40. Yes.
And Heritage Foods, for those who don't know, is a mail order company that sources responsible livestock from farms.
Never mind.
Including people
different
like,
mail order company.
Different, including people like Frank Reese, who brought back the Heritage Turkey Market. I had a Heritage Turkey this past Thanksgiving, my first ever. I'll go into that in a moment. But
that's not the one that you ate the whole thing by yourself.
No,
right?
that was at a Foxwoods Casino, the 20-pound turkey that I ate. I always saved the Pope's nose for the last bite.
And how much of it did you eat of the 20-pound turkey?
I got about 6.5 pounds.
That's a very classy move, I got to tell you. The saving
that's
the Pope's
fucking
nose.
Classy.
And a man who...
The part that goes over the fence.
An aristocrat.
An aristocrat, but nothing classy or aristocratic about this other guest... Who's in? If there are four food groups, this man has found the three pleasure centers of life,
including porn,
including pornography, wrestling, and pot, because he is really the maestro of all those areas. It's Mike Edison. I should say he hosts Arts and Seizures on this network, but I know him from his autobiography, which is "I Have Fun Everywhere I Go," which I'm going to just give you the quick intro. He started he was a wrestling aficionado, a fan. He had a wrestling magazine. He ended up as the editor of High Times magazine, which has to do with, I guess, growing things. I'm not really sure. And then he worked for Screw magazine. So he covered
from Al Goldstein to Joe Bastianich. How the fuck did that happen?
He's the triple schlep.
The triple schlep.
And plus he wrote about a lot of beer.
And beer, it's true. I was working for a beer magazine before I got to High Times. I traded beer for pot. That was definitely the last time I was upwardly mobile.
And our special in-studio guest is Kelly Jones, who is at the Spotted Pig. And she is the morning sous chef, but she does some butchering. Not of the customers, but of all the fine things they serve there. And welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you. Even though sometimes I do want to butcher the customers.
I was about to say, I've seen your customers. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know the West Village.
Now,
I reserve my butchering for the English language.
So, Patrick and Mike, there are some interesting parallels in your life's resume. Patrick, you have the board that oversees Heritage Foods, which includes some food, the Food Illuminati, Alice Waters, who started the Slow Food Movement, Eric Schlossinger, Fast Food Nation.
Schlosser, yeah.
Schlosser, thank you. And
chew everything up.
I was more of an Upton Sinclair fan. Well, I'm holding back because I know Gray's Papaya is your favorite hot dog, and I'm contractually obligated to go with Nathan's.
Seriously? Gray's Papaya is your favorite hot dog?
I mean, it's the one that was the hot dog place in and around my neighborhood. I didn't grow up on Coney Island.
Yeah, on the Upper East Side, 72nd Street.
Upper,
that was the first.
Upper West, my friend.
and again, an aristocrat. Mm.
Oh. And Mario Batali.
Moscow on the Hudson.
Mario Batali is also on the board.
Yeah, on our advisory board.
Advisory board, I should say. How does one get on the advisory board?
Well, I mean, basically you have to have done great things in food or written some book or own a bunch of restaurants.
Got it.
So or eaten a lot.
No competitive eaters yet.
Well,
on the
no,
board.
I say eaten a lot. I threw that in right in there.
There's probably a phone call to Joey Chestnut I don't know about.
What is that? What is the hardest food to eat a lot of and what's the easiest?
I was booked on a high-profile show to eat mayonnaise. and I'm generally anti-condiment, and I had a lot of trouble with mayonnaise. Oleg Zernitsky from the Ukraine ate 3 32-ounce bowls in 6 minutes of mayonnaise.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's not happening.
No.
I can hey, listen, just, yeah. That's Goyish or crap mayonnaise. It's so not happening.
Yes.
But I probably couldn't guzzle mustard either, but oysters. I think if I had to go mano a mano, toe to toe, head to head with anybody, I'll bet I could guzzle some
okay.
oysters.
Well, like, the question, though, is
are we talking about time and quantity or just quantity?
We're talking about on the half shell with a utensil, Sonia the Black Widow Thomas, 100 pounds. How many do you think you could eat? How many do you think she ate?
Oh, I don't know. But, oh, man. Yeah, I've seen her. I've seen
her
work.
8 minutes.
She did like 48 dozen.
48
right?
dozen.
In 8 minutes?
That's 48
okay,
dozen,
okay.
not 48.
That's,
okay,
that's
a while.
Crazy.
Yeah,
right,
that's
so
not happening. But I got to tell you, the hot dog thing, there's something that really bothers me. This is the perfect show for me to finally get this out. Because this whole idea, okay, so we're at Nathan's, we're eating hot dogs, and the technique is what? You break the hot dog in half, you soak the bun in water.
Yeah.
Okay, this is bullshit. I want to see some gamesmanship. I want to see someone eating a fully dressed dog. I want to see them mustard it up. Mustard is a verb, by the way.
Okay.
I want to see them mustard the dog.
Musty,
I want to see them dress the dog and eat it. When you deconstruct it, it ceases to be a hot dog.
That's a little different, but now you're just talking about calories and quantity. It's not a hot dog.
It ceases to be the thing itself.
But, okay, you know what? That should be Criff Dogs. Criff Dogs should run that contest.
It's Nathan's. But they what? Have you ever? Let me ask you something. Listen, you're from Brooklyn. You ever go to Nathan's? And it's like, oh, we're gonna go out to Nathan's. Gonna be with your girl. We're gonna go on the Cyclone, and let's get some hot dogs. The first thing you do is you take it off the bun and you soak the bun in water. Because when does that happen?
No, understandable, before or after you ride the Cyclone. But the dressed hot dog is a Criff Dogs thing. It is.
No, mustard and kraut.
It's the Woiks.
Listen, I'm an old Jew, and the way I do it, you know.
Your hero is a guy named Jed the Jalapeno King. Who was the Jalapeno King? He used to put his toilet paper in the freezer. He would call his colon the seventh circle of hell. In his retirement,
that's good.
In his retirement, he decided to eat one, the perfect hot dog, during the contest. At the time, it was 12 minutes, and he dressed it. He used mustard, ketchup, relish. He ate it, and then there was so much time left on the clock, he ate another one and ruined the whole thing. So it's been done.
I'm just saying, it just doesn't seem right. It doesn't seem right.
But dressing a hot dog, is it okay, look, I just...
They can come dress, but I'm telling you, you should eat hot dogs the way you normally eat hot dogs.
Chicago. I think you go to Chicago.
It's like, what did Dalai Lama say to the hot dog vendor? Make me one with everything.
Yes.
No, I like the hot onions. That's my thing. You know, and the red onions. Yeah, the red onions, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that's how some people do it. Some people do it with freaking pickles. Some people do it with onions. Some people do it with
sauerkraut and mustard. That's the only way.
Sauerkraut, but not this deconstruction.
Kelly, what do you go for on your dog?
Let me tell you, cream cheese and saute
onions.
See, that
what
is
the,
more
wow.
fun.
Wow. That, yeah.
What are you, from California?
From Washington State.
Cream cheese sounds Philadelphia.
Yeah, it does sound.
And what about on the Jersey Shore where they put it in the pizza dough and they throw the freaking French fries on it?
Well, that's like Newark style, having French fries on a sandwich. That's totally Newark style.
Okay, or
ask Judy McGuire. That's like Bloomfield.
Yes.
Or New Orleans. That's the original po' boy, the French fried sandwich.
Right on there. Yeah. I'm a big fan of potato chips and sandwiches too. By the way, I like that.
Adds a nice crunch and nice texture.
I'm just arguing for this deconstruction when the thing ceases to be the thing itself. What's really happening here? It's not really a hot dog eating contest at some point.
Well, did you have this discussion with Mr. Bastianach when you helped write his book, Restaurant Man?
No, the many things that we talked about, that was not one of them, nor did it come up in the Carnivore's Manifesto, oddly.
Right. Uh-huh. Because I had some questions about that, which I love that book.
And I tell you, working with Joe was a great experience. I really had a gas writing it. I think it's a very good book. At the end of the day, I think it's a real rock and roll food book.
It's one of your top two books you've ever co-written.
About food.
Does he really change the toilet seats every month at each of his restaurants?
Yeah, I don't know if he does it not personally anymore. But it came from the restaurant man was his dad.
Yes,
his dad was restaurant man, and his dad ran like a red sauce joint in Queens, and it was all about good value and keeping the place clean and making it an experience and paying attention to details and just making sure that the place wasn't greasy. It was like absolutely like it's ingrained in him.
Okay.
If you see something out of place, it's a little bit OCD, but it's the kind of OCD I can endorse.
And also, didn't you go to his restaurants immediately after winning a couple of your competitions?
I have. Many
that
times.
Was part of the reason.
Every
that
time
was...
I've been to Vegas, I go to Carne Vino.
Carne Vino's the shit, right?
I ate against. I'm not allowed. There's an episode of Brain Games coming up. I ate against a non-human, and I went to Carne Vino afterwards. I cannot. I cannot say what
wait,
non.
A non-human?
It was an
Patrick
animal.
Martin's.
It was an animal. But I went there afterwards, and I had the spaghetti. That's
so it was
one
a Republican.
Strand.
You ate against a Republican,
but
and you know.
I'll leave it at this, Mike. If you're still in touch with him, I know he's addicted to Red Gatorade. He's a big runner now.
Yeah, he's been running. He likes to get...
There's a flavor out of Chicago only, cucumber lime. I think it's going to change his life.
It's
Gatorade.
It's just Gatorade brand.
Only, and I think there should be a he could finance it, perhaps, a movie in the Smokey and the Bandit scenario where instead of Coors Light, we go to Chicago, pick him up a couple pallets of cucumber lime, and drive it back.
And we drive it in the Oscar Wiener van,
which,
the hot dog
shaped
truck.
Which just demolished itself.
Yes.
Because of global warming, so you know.
Yeah. Now we are approaching break time. Is that true? The Reverend usually watches the clock.
I have not been watching.
You have not been watching the clock. When we come back, I want to get into the books, both the one that you co-wrote together, and the previous books, which all have incredibly long subtitles. So it's going to take us.
a lot of good that strategy has done.
we're going to take a quick break. We're going to hear some ads, perhaps from Mike Edison of Arts and Seizures, my favorite ad. And we'll be right back with Eating Disorder.
Jump Rope by the Ginger Ladies.
Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew WK. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
It must be. It must be.
That music sounded suspiciously vegetarian to me.
Speaking, let's get into that because we're back on Eating Disorder. All three hosts are here. Patrick Martin, Mike Edison are in the studio, as is Kelly, our resident spotted pig sous chef. Welcome back, Kelly. Let's talk about the book, The Carnivore's Manifesto.
Yeah, and I just got to say... You know, Patrick, I asked you if I could. I pulled up an article about Patrick on Food 52 about the Carnivore's Manifesto, and the ad that appears above it is about chronic constipation.
Oh.
Now, is this something we should look forward to after reading your book?
I always say, if anything, our food will lead to diarrhea, not constipation.
Really? Okay.
That's like today I Googled Patrick Martin's Fuck Local. And the first thing the first thing that popped up was Patrick Martin, sexual offender in Iowa.
Oh.
I'm serious. I'm serious. That really happened.
I haven't been to Iowa for 3 weeks.
Patrick Martins, yeah. I believe, is the man you're looking
yes,
for.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, actually, that's what happened. I left the S off. Yeah.
It's not like this guy started this network anyway. We can't possibly get in trouble.
It is interesting, though, speaking of sexual offenders. You know,
what kind of fucking segue is that?
You know, like, you look at your career, and just...
And somehow I've escaped the long arm of the law.
No. Just the relation with how like, food is our new drug. You know, like, you've moved from drugs and sex to food.
You know what? It's old school hedonism. Yeah. You know, it's really not the new thing; it's the old thing.
Well, but it kind of is for the populace today. They don't party the way we used to. They don't, you know, they're not imbibing.
I suspect they do. You and I, everybody in this room is pretty fucking old. You know, but people who are like younger than the age of like Jurassic, you know, I think like the 20-somethings in Bushwick. I have a feeling they're doing the drugs, doing the booze, they're doing the sex.
I'm out of the loop.
They're doing the thing. I think it's
the kids today.
I think it's happening.
No, but at the same time, you know, back in my day, I mean, but the thing is, I don't think we cared about the food as much. I mean, we cared about a good diner. You know, we cared about, like, the disco fries. We cared about...
But that's part of the same thing. I mean, I'll say one thing. There's two demographics to the entire station across all 39 shows. One is food people. But the second, and it's a powerful, and Mike led it, is basically your generation of old partiers. It's the old music guys. It's the old wrestlers. It's the people that went to the old steakhouses. And so I find that it's the demographic right closest. It was in a different trajectory, a different comment, but they flew together.
We also realized that the food isn't going to kill us or make us lose our jobs.
Right.
You know, like we can be completely gluttonous.
Or be bad parents.
Parents. I'm still, I don't let my kid have the steak. You know, I'll be like, get the fuck out of here.
Really? Chef Paul, I was just at the Booby Trap, and they were serving jalapeno LSD poppers there with the cheese and everything.
Oh, that sounds delicious.
And they just opened a new pizzeria across the street. Yeah.
I didn't see it. But the book is The Carnivore's Manifesto, Eating Well, Eating Responsibly, and Eating Meat. And in the foreword by Alice Waters, she says that this is the message Patrick delivers. If we eat and buy with intention and focus on the pleasures of the table, our lives will be changed. And I would agree with that. And the question I guess I have for you, Patrick, is you have gone out of your way to create companies that focus on meat, wonderful meat. I know that the Rev wants to ask about the Bacon of the Month Club. How do you respond to detractors, and I'm going to name one of another book I read recently, but in general, do you find vegans and vegetarians fighting back?
Well, I think basically this book was written in the shadow of Peter Singer, Animal Liberation. This is actually the greatest vegetarian manifesto ever written, because it says that no one should eat factory farm food. Mm-hmm. And just with meat. Especially, rather than eat factory farm meat, which is like antibiotic ridden, the animals are unhealthy, better not eat meat. So now, granted, I had a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich this morning, and I have no idea where the bacon came from, nor do I want to know. It's not about changing overnight, but it is basically saying that if animals suffer to feed us, then fuck that. And knowingly.
And just on the devil's advocate side about vegans, look, I'm an atheist, and there's a stupid joke about like, oh, an atheist and a vegan walk into a bar, and how do you know they tell you? Fuck off. I mean, when it comes down to it,
funny.
That was amazing. What a delivery.
Don Rickles, go.
Yeah, exactly.
But our friend Peter Vasquez is a great chef, right? And a vegan.
Yeah.
And cooks meat. From what I understand, cooks some fucking lots of meat.
I don't think he's an atheist. I think he just hates God.
Okay.
No. Vegan. He doesn't eat meat. Right? And
that's a vegan. Yeah.
That's what did I say atheist?
Vegan.
I meant vegan. Okay. But he cooks meat, and he's a great meat chef. Right. And honestly, I don't think there is as many vegans that are demonizing meat as we think there are. In every party, you know, there's the fringes that everybody thinks, OK, well, these are the assholes at the end of every political party. Well, you're going to hear the assholes of every food movement. But most of the vegans I know aren't like, fuck you, well, you're a meat eater. Yeah. They're like, I do what I do, and you do what you do.
The smart thing Patrick did with this book, I think, is he said, the argument isn't should we eat meat. He said, we already do. Okay? That's who we are. That's what we do. We're carnivores, right? I mean, God didn't give me these teeth to squash tomatoes. I mean, this is who we are. It's part of our evolution, you know, as a species. We eat meat, and we don't look at the lion when he's eating the zebra, you know, and start wagging our fingers at him either. We eat meat. Whether it's the best diet, healthiest diet possible is another question, but we do, and Patrick framed it in a way that we should be eating it better. We should be eating it humanely and safely and cleanly and enjoying it. This book is also about eating it. It's not just some political treatise. Mm. This book is about pleasure. But Patrick is very smart in moving it away from the argument about whether we should or not, because we do.
And okay, Mike, so now
get your mouth off his balls.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm about to get onto his, because one of Mike's great lines that he helped us though is, if you cannot, hold on one sec. Oh, all right. And if you cannot name four or five purveyors who you buy food from, then you're not part of the sustainable food movement. That was one of Mike's lines, and that's really constructive. Even no matter how much money you have, if you're not going to Five Guys to buy even so much as a cheese curd, you're not doing it.
You can't
right.
be just going to Whole Foods the whole time. I mean, you should be, you know, shopping local mom and pop. And also, what you said about searching fuck local, that's an important part of the message, too, because it's about buying the best. It's not buying what's built closest to you, because I don't want to buy honey that was like, you know, we're in Brooklyn. There's acid rain. Do you really want, like, bees in Brooklyn making your honey? I mean, seriously, you drive 2 hours away from here, and the air is cleaner by magnitudes, okay? But the bagels from here are really fucking good.
And the pizza comes
from about like 60 feet away from here.
And
it's
the
fucking
pizza.
Phenomenal.
It's the water. It's the water. But that's also in the Carnivore's Manifesto, that is, you need to develop relationships with the people that are providing you with
deep
this
sexual relationship.
Well, it does say you should sleep with your butcher and maybe your bartender as well, which I thought was great advice, because I've always done with bartenders but never butchers.
Very true.
Kelly.
Oh, there's a love connection.
It's hard to make a bartender, though. You got to admit, bartender's like the hardest pickup in New York City.
Well, because there's so many options for the bartender.
The crazy legs is free. I'm telling you.
I walked out of my bartending job, but I know. I have the book here, and I'm going
to
ask you guys
to
autograph it.
Oh, yeah.
But this is sort of an interesting thing. I don't know what royalties you get from the library. So I have two of the books from the library.
Wait, we're going to sign a library book?
Yeah, yeah.
Another first. Wow. So, who's the Jew on the show? Holy shit, that's
Patrick,
awesome.
Patrick, your book, they're inside, this is sort of telling about the people who have taken it out before, is a receipt for an overdue fine for $1.20, and the two books that were overdue were not your book, but Pickle in the Middle Murder at 60 cents, and then Raiders of the Nile, a novel, at an additional 60 cents.
Raiders of the Nosh was like the food.
Maybe.
Another food.
So I'm going to ask you to sign it to the
I am going to the NY Public Library at the Brooklyn Public Library. I'm going to start taking my own books and
signing them. No, these are from the Manhattan.
And putting them back. Hey, let me tell you something. The New York Public Library is like one of the greatest organizations.
It is. It really is.
But I'm going to take out all the books of mine that are in circulation, and I'm going to sign them and put them back in circulation.
Why not?
Yeah, well, and if Patrick, if you could sign that to the New York Public Library, the Mid-Manhattan branch,
and you should sign them cryptically. I mean, you should put like a little thing like, he's in the bathroom.
And then, Mike, I have another one of your books. I have Dirty, Dirty, Dirty of Playboys, Pigs, and Penthouse Poppers, An American Tale of Sex and Wonder. And that almost was as long as your autobiography, which is I Have Fun Everywhere I Go, Savage Tales of Pot Porn, Punk Rock, Pro Wrestling, Talking Apes, Evil Bosses, Dirty Blues, American Heroes, and the Most Notorious Magazines in the World.
Oh, wow.
And
it's a big tent.
And I was going to have you sign it, and then I opened up the first page, and someone had already written some things in it.
Oh, thank God. Is it a library book as well?
Yeah, there's a library book. You need to sign this one to the Ottendorfer branch. That's my local. Cinema Channel Plus.
Dear Ottendorfer, thanks for the good time.
Yeah. Accidental, The Lab, Teaching Dolphins, Palette Variety Platter, Enumeration List, Teaching Seagulls, Parrots in Parentheses, Differential Equations.
Oh, we just went spoken word.
There you go.
Yeah. And I'm going to just read a quick passage, which I think sums up eating disorder in a nutshell. I made it as far as page 2, Mike. You'll be glad to know. All right, so
it's all downhill from there, I promise.
Part of it is talking about pornography, and that the Victorian England was so shocked by the flimsy sexual mores of the Romans that it promptly crapped its pantaloons and got busy writing the world's first anti-pornography law, which was the Obscene Publication Law of 1857, to put the kibosh on. And here's the quote that I think describes us: works written for the single purpose of corrupting the morals of youth and of a nature calculated to shock the common feelings of decency in any well-regarded mind.
And I wish you, the best of luck.
Yeah. So if you could sign that one as well.
You should combine...
through the Ottendorf Library, right?
Ottendorf. Yeah.
You should combine your past and present writing ventures and do a book called Pussy is Sustainable.
Is that your experience?
Well, you know, it's funny. Yes. The anti-carnivores manifesto book was the guy from the Cro-Magnons, and now I'm anti-punk because I got hit in the head. Jack Johnson wrote Meat is for Pussies and is all about a plant-based sobriety diet. And I was thinking about that because I finished reading that book and then I started this one. And I thought I couldn't do it, that there are so many things about meat and the meat that Patrick is talking about that means so much.
John Joseph,
thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I got hit in the head, so it's kind of hard to remember. But I felt like I could not do it. I could not give up the things I love about meat, whether it's a corner bistro burger or a great steak. And
if I had to go vegetarian, I would look to the Middle East. I would look to tabbouleh, baba ganoush, hummus. I wouldn't be happy about it, but that is the culture that is best.
Yeah,
figured
you know why?
Cuz
no, well the reason
I think the Italian table too has got some great.
No, but the Middle East. Look, you add lemon juice and hot sauce to anything, it's great. But I mean, at the same time, honestly,
pizza?
We are the top of the food chain. I'm sorry.
I just don't eat
it. So it's an ego thing, right? We're on the land, okay? A cow is not going to be higher in the food chain than me because that's offending. However, the second I go swimming in the ocean, that changes very quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's true.
I don't eat shark for that reason.
George Shea of Major League Eating has pointed out.
I just saw. The second Anchorman movie with Dobie with the shark that he saves. I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah, it eats him. But see, the thing about that is I go to the Chicken Wing Festival in Buffalo every year, and currently we are winning the war on poultry. I mean, it's like 1,000,000 to 1. They haven't got one of us humans. There's a whole bunch of chickens on crutches. But I think we need to turn over the show just at the end here to see if Mike and Patrick and Kelly, if there's anything you guys want to plug or bring awareness to.
Are we done already?
No,
took us all the way out to Bushwick. We're done.
Is there anything that you guys want to highlight of note that
coming up?
Well, it is lamb season, so everyone should be eating lamb in bulk, just for one big lavish meal. And then,
especially if you're Greek, it's Easter coming up.
The Carnivore's Manifesto, everyone should have it. Please buy a copy. Right now, my mom is the only one officially who's bought a copy, and we could use a few other people.
And you'll see
your mom in the Brooklyn Public Library.
You'll see that lamb if you go to heritagefoods.com, because there's beautiful pictures there. And as I said earlier, I had a heritage turkey. You got to order
in
August.
No, before we go, I got to do about the bacon.
So real quick, Reverend wants to ask Patrick about bacon.
Subscribe to bacon.
You subscribe to bacon. You just have to believe in it.
every month it shows up.
Clap your hands. You have to clap your hands.
So basically every month I get a different bacon?
A different bacon. They're so diverse in taste, it's unbelievable.
Really?
You get 3 1-pound bags of a different bacon, and it becomes your bacon. Some are super smoky. Some are like riddled with juniper leaves. Others are smoky, sweet. Unbelievable.
So you get your sour diesel bacon. You get your purple haze bacon.
Yeah. And Mike, what's going on in your world? Anything you
well,
have
yeah, you know, we're doing a show here on the Heritage Radio Network every Sunday at 2 p.m. With the fourth year with Arts and Seizures, our show. We are the red-haired stepchild of the station. You guys are fighting to be lowest on the totem pole. but good luck with that. We got some shows. We actually have like a show on 4/19. Will be a combination at Sunday the 19th. Combination 4/20. Show and professional wrestling. Okay, and I dare you to stoop lower than that.
Well, to be honest, 4/20 is Patriots Day in Massachusetts, so they drink all the leftover green beer and yell at the marathon runners, and they go, that runner's got a wicked nice dumper. She's really fast.
She's
so that might be a little lower than that, but we'll see. And Kelly, anything you'd like to say? Is there a special at the Spotted Pig tomorrow that we can eat?
You know, there's always specials going on there. You know, one of the important things that I've learned working there that really goes with everything that, you know, Patrick's done and everybody with Heritage Pork is really utilizing the whole animal. I mean, from the ears to the tail. I mean, moving the animals from head to toe is really what we're all passionate about, you know, and that nothing really goes to waste. And, I mean, that knowing where it comes from and using every part of the animal is just really how we should eat and be sustainable. And that's what we try to do at the Spotted Pig. That's what I've learned. We use every single part of the animal. So we always have specials.
So the special is
there
pig
it is.
Dick.
There it is.
It's just, I mean, besides pig, we use other animals besides pigs. Okay. But, yes. Yeah,
you so you're saying, though, if we, eating disorder, we started our own club, sort of in the farm to table, you could set it up for us that we could eat an entire animal, every part. We'd start mm-hmm. small, maybe a suckling pig, and then work our way up to like a bison or mammoth or something.
Yeah, or a herd of bisons. It depends on how many people you're feeding, but really, I mean, the joy of cooking a whole animal or being part of that is the fact that you can feed a village. I mean, you can feed a lot of people with that. So it's really important.
And it takes a village to feed a village.
To eat a bison. Yes. Yes. It takes a village to eat a bison. But it's absolutely true what Kelly said. And I wouldn't have signed on to this book with Patrick if I didn't believe that the message was right. I mean, here I am being earnest, not something I do too naturally. But I do think this book is... I think this book is it's smart. And if you actually pay attention to it and follow the rules, your life is going to be better. I mean, it may be common sense to everybody in this room, you know, to like eat better.
This is an echo chamber of meat right here.
Exactly.
I learned that from watching the Pope of Greenwich Village when they have the scene where they go and
it's not the Pope's nose or the turkey
meat shop, and then they go to the bread shop, and then they go to the cheese shop. You know,
that's where you earned it.
Well, yeah, because growing up in Brooklyn, I didn't even see a farm until I was about 18 years old. But I watched the Pope of Greenwich Village, and it taught me how to know all my vendors' names. So that's always good.
Obscure Pope of Greenwich Village quiz: can you name the most famous extra, no lines, in the party scene of that movie?
Oh yeah.
Anybody? Anybody?
I'm out.
Andy Garcia.
Close. Oh. Bill Murray is in that movie.
Really?
And he's the one human I want to have a beer with. So on that note, eating disorder, pick up the Carnivore's Manifesto. Big thanks to Patrick Martins, to Mike Edison, to Kelly stepping in, and really a wonderful episode here. Be sure to look them up. They have lots more going on. I didn't even get to ask about the ARC project and so many more things of interest
in the food
world.
You guys
world.
Just did a tour, didn't you?
Yeah, we went to San Francisco, Portland, Seattle.
It was awesome. I was playing my guitar in butcher shops.
Boom.
Were you playing the theremin?
Playing the theremin. Like, seriously, guys, like, busting up a sow behind me. And
The sweet sounds and sweet bread.
There's nothing like
Edison.
Nothing like the magical meat tour.
Yes. All right. I am Crazy Legs Conti.
Paul Gerard.
Rev Spiro.
This is Eating Disorder and Eat Well.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.